Hey, thanks, Rachel.
You're
So
welcome.
we're back from Sundance. Now, if you think the small ski town of Park City, Utah, is a scene overrun with celebrities and celebrity, and you should check out the scene in this tiny Swiss enclave of Davos, which is just lousy with the global power elite. Just replace Robert Redford and Jared Leto with Henry Kissinger and Bill Gates. Okay, it doesn't quite translate, I know.
Not quite as good looking.
But each January for the past 38 years, the World Economic Forum hits Davos, Switzerland, where chief execs from the world's top 1,000 companies and some 27 heads of state, as well as leaders from academia, are contemplating the world's financial markets, where they go from here. Hoo-hoo, party. Live from Davos is Daniel Gross, a senior editor at Newsweek and columnist for Slate, who's been blogging about the forum. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing great. So as you read the guest list at Davos, it's sort of this who's who of I am insanely wealthy and influential. You got George Soros, the Google guys, even Condoleezza Rice, Tony Blair. Who are some of the other headliners?
Well, let's see. Tony Blair, Kissinger, Bono was here this morning, Al Gore, Condi Rice, Jean-Claude Trichet, who's the head of the European Central Bank, various sheiks, sultans. Pretty much every type of authoritarian dictator, they got some of those here, too. So it runs the whole gamut.
Is there somebody that you can assert is the alpha among alphas?
That really hasn't asserted itself, in part because so many of the financial bigwigs, you know, like the CEOs of the giant banks who usually come and make a big splash, they're all in pretty big trouble. And in fact, some of them aren't coming here at all. It's been a parlor game among journalists to kind of guess at, you know, is John Thain, he's the new CEO of Merrill Lynch, is he going to show up? Henry Paulson, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, canceled because, as you reported, they're working on this fiscal stimulus package. A year ago, there was a sense the CEO of Citigroup said, you know, the economy is so benign, you know, and within a few months he was out of a job. So a lot of like the big shots who see this as a time to sort of unwind literally feel like they can't leave the office because their job might not be there when they get back.
Yeah, seriously, let's talk about the markets in the past week. I'm sure it wasn't necessarily on the agenda for discussion. I'm wondering, has it wormed its way into every conversation, or is everybody just deciding to look the other way and say, oh, look at the pretty mountains?
No, absolutely. You know, for strange as this may seem, because journalists are very jaded about Davos, but a lot of these executives who, you know, actually have to work all day and don't have time to sit around reading blogs and reading magazines, they look forward to Davos as a time to, you know, think and talk about things they never can. You know, what's going on in sub-Saharan Africa, you know, the latest in sort of consumer information technology products, you know, the talks about the world's water supply. It's a chance for them to kind of get outside of their quotidian little lives and look at these big picture topics. But of course, this year, everyone's thumbing their Blackberries to see what's going on in the stock market. So the world has really kind of intruded into this alpine haven.
Although I don't think all those people have quotidian little lives, or their quotidian little lives is like the corporate jet. Let's just put that in perspective. I think it's interesting, though, you described talking about all these big, serious issues. One of the panels up there is the Science of Love panel, quote, how can neuroscience and anthropology explain why, how, with whom, and when we form attachments, experience passion, and fall in love? So,
and, you
I
know,
can
I
imagine
Bill Clinton
being
was supposed to be the headliner on that. No, I kid.
I kid, I kid. So, but what does that have to do with the global economy exactly?
I think it doesn't. I think they like to build in a certain amount of kind of intentional Swiss frivolity, and, you know, which is, you may guess, that's a panel discussion that is tightly scripted and where entry is very tightly controlled.
There's a former reporter who I was reading his blog, and he just finally seemed like he could unleash about Davos, and he called it a PR miracle. And he said what he really loved about it, not the panels, not the discussion, he loved the spectacle of the whole thing. Can you describe what he means?
You sit here in the Congress Center with your laptop, and they have good Wi-Fi. And there's free coffee everywhere, and the world goes by. I was sitting yesterday, and within 20 minutes, Henry Kissinger comes through looking for a country to bomb. Condi Rice walks by, Tony Blair, and, you know, they're all on their cell phones.
Did he tell you that? Did Henry Kissinger? I'm looking for a country.
He just had that look in his eyes.
Okay. You know, like,
we did Laos. We did Cambodia.
Oh, no.
How about Slovenia?
My goodness, my goodness. These are the opinions of Daniel Gross from Newsweek and Slate, by the way. That's who we're talking to about the Davos conference and just really what a spectacle it is. After all these meetings, though, what happens with all this information, all these great minds, some people who have run countries, as you said, run corporations? What happens with all the information they share with each other? They just go home?
Basically, you know, there is a certain amount of, I think every year on Saturday, that there tend to be some actual trade negotiations. I don't think it's quite evolved into a deal-making summit. You know, at these there's this famous media executive summit out in Idaho and Sun Valley every year where, you know, Warren Buffett will be on the golf course with Michael Eisner and they'll decide to sell, you know, ABC to Disney. I don't get the sense that happens so much here. I just think there's a lot more networking, FaceTime, and very rapid-fire exchanging of business cards. One of the instructions to Davos newbies like myself was to pack more business cards than you ever thought you'd need because people tend to run out.
What is Bono's role out there?
I actually saw him. He was Google and YouTube have a thing set up where they pose the Davos question. The Davos question is, what one thing can you do to make the world a better place? And they get all these people to stand in front of the webcam and talk, you know, for 40 seconds. So they had, you know, Henry Kissinger and Shimon Peres. And one of their big gets this morning was Bono, who went after he did his panel. And he said, looks in the camera, goes, you should check it out on YouTube. He goes, my name's Bono and I'm a rock star. So his job is to be a rock star here.
All righty then. At least he knows. Newsweek and Slate columnist Daniel Gross, live from Davos at the World Economic Forum. Hey, thanks for sharing your reporting.
Anytime. Take care.
Stay tuned. I got the best song in the world today. The big reveal is coming up next. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.